Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. Freedom is calling to brighten up your winter mornings. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It's nearly 20 past 11.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, it is. Now, just a little ears warning. If you have sensitive ears or little ears around at this time, you can catch this chat on our podcast. Valentine's Day is fast approaching and you don't want to be crap. You don't want to be crap. And if you are going to be crap, do what me and my husband do. Just say, look, let's both be crap at the same time. But if you want to go all out, we have Rachel Cook on to give us some tips and ideas. Good morning, Rachel.
Hiya, Jen. Oh, I'm looking forward to this. We're nice and early as well, so people can have a bit of prep.
Yeah, loads of prep for Valentine's Day, because it is a big thing. But what is the history of Valentine's Day, first of all?
But you know what? So some people trace Valentine's Day kind of origins to a Christian replacement of a pagan fertility ritual, which has actually been dated back to the 6th century BC, before Christ. So it was called the Festival of Lupercalia. And basically, Roman priests would sacrifice goats and dogs and use their blood-soaked hides to slap women on the streets as a fertility blessing. So basically then, according to legends, women would later put their names in a kind of an urn and be selected to be paired with a man for the year. So it was a kind of like a sex, romantic sex lottery. And then this was officially replaced by Valentine's Day in the 5th century by the Pope. And then it only started taking on romantic connotations sometime in the 14th century. So it has a bit of a weird history.
It's rough. And yeah, you've just given a load of RTÉ producers an idea for another dating show. They'll just recreate that. But what does Valentine's Day represent in modern times?
Oh, well, this one is in some ways it's just as problematic, but a bit different. You know, it's like the epitome of Valentine's Day now is devotion to one monogamous partner, you know, a kind of rushed, cramped, cringeworthy meal out, cheap chocolates, roses from Spar and a bottle of Pinot Grigio or whatever it is. You know, so basically while the Romans emphasized fertility and the matching of kind of like sexual partners via this lottery, these days, Valentine's Day is very much about consumerism, heteronormativity and these sort of traditionally sexist gender roles. So it's kind of problematic. It very much sends the message that gifts and presents and spending money equals love. And it also kind of gives partners who slack off the rest of the year the opportunity to kind of do something for one day of the year and then slack off again for the other 364 days. So
you're not a fan, Rachel. Is that what you're trying to tell me? You're not a fan of Valentine's Day.
The kind of how it is played out in modern times isn't the greatest, but I think there's lots we can do about that to kind of buck against the trends for sure.
Do you not think a little day to remind us all that we should be a little bit more romantic is a good thing?
Oh, look, and you're absolutely right. Why would it be a bad thing to have an occasion for people to celebrate their love for one another in a way that makes them happy? You know, I don't think it is inherently wrong to have like things like romantic traditions. Definitely not. It's just that how it's done it is often more about prescribing a set of norms that couples feel pressured to conform to. You know, so the expectations, you know, there's expectations in any relationship, but Valentine's Day seems to drastically raise the stakes. And so there's actually a big spike of breakups. It's one of the two biggest spikes of breakups in the year is immediately after Valentine's Day. And
wow.
I would say a part of that is to do with the massive amount of expectations and disappointment that people have and they haven't communicated to each other and, you know, about what they're going to buy each other, what they're going to do. Maybe have one person who really wants to celebrate it and one who doesn't. And then there's also this massive kind of gender-based pressure for in heterosexual relationships for men to be spending a load of money on women. And there's just a lot going on in there.
It's archaic. Okay. Are younger generations, are they celebrating it less, do you think?
Yeah, they are. Although I would say, again, there's this kind of reclaiming effect where people are still celebrating it, but trying to do it in more kind of low key personal ways rather than doing the whole going out for the special menu meal in a restaurant with the pink balloons sort of thing.
But how much are people spending on Valentine's Day gifts?
Loads.
Are they?
Like some of the research has shown that people tend to spend like £100 plus on each other. Which, you know, cool if people have that kind of disposable income and they want to do that, that's up to them. But I think a lot of the time it ends up being, you know, sort of like hackneyed gifts just because that's what you're supposed to do. And people end up being very disappointed by that. And then, you know, less cash.
I remember when I was a kid, probably about 10 or 11 on Valentine's Day, you'd be waiting for the cards to come in the door and you'd only get like six and you'd be devastated because
absolutely
your man
devastated.
On the corner never sent you a card and you'd be so upset about it. But that was cute. But that was from a very, very early age. Kids are kind of sending cards to each other in school and whatever. But that's kind of cute, no? But is that destined
that
for...
That is cute. I like that
misery.
One. You know what? Interestingly, the history of the sending cards on Valentine's Day, a lot of people think that that's quite recent. And actually sending cards on Valentine's Day is at least 200 years old. A bit like Christmas trees, white wedding dresses and sending children up chimney shafts. It's actually a Victorian idea that's left a fairly widespread mark on cultural history. But yeah, it was with the advent of an official, efficient nationwide postal service in the early 1800s, that this became widespread. So yeah, it's a historic money spinner doing the cards.
Wow.
But exactly that, you know, I think there's a lovely aspect to the kind of sweetness and excitement and romance of being a kid and making cards for each other and not knowing, you know, that's where the good stuff is in Valentine's
That's the good
Day.
Stuff. And it's all nice and innocent. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about if you want to get sexy on Valentine's Day. Do not go anywhere. Now, good morning, everyone. I'm Jennifer Zamparelli. I'm with you till 12. We are in the middle of sex therapy. If you've just switched over, this will be podcast if you have little sensitive ears around you. Because we're talking about Valentine's Day and our sex therapist, Rachel Cook, is here. So, Rachel, we talked about all the nice stuff and the negative things about Valentine's Day. But let's say you want to celebrate it. What about celebrating it with sex? Is that a healthy thing? Have you got any good ideas for us?
This is a great idea because having sex is pretty much the only Valentine's Day activity that doesn't require a reservation, loads of cash and, you know, a taxi, whatever it is. So it's a good way to keep it cheap as well.
Yeah, keep it cheap.
Yeah, absolutely. So ideas for that, you can go sort of completely free doing things like watching ethical porn together. A lot of that is free or low cost. Making a sex menu together. I love this when people sit down and talk about the things that they really write down lists of basically of things that you have done and love doing, haven't tried and would like to try, haven't tried, don't want to try. And then it could be things like writing out your fantasies together and picking one, making a sexy playlist, you know, just get going on Spotify and making a sexy playlist, doing things like spending the day sexting each other, especially if that's not something that you normally do. So, you know, I think making it a bit of a special day or having a lead up to it, you could have something like a sex position countdown in the week leading up to the day, where you choose something different every day or every couple of days or however often you want to be having sex. And then things like sexy board games. There's a lot of different games out there now. So
I'm not playing Monopoly. I hate that game. I'm not playing that. But there is loads of sexy board games out there. Absolutely. I'm exhausted just listening to your suggestions, by the way. But what if you want to spend money and go sexy? If you want to splash the cash? You're going to say
there's
underwear?
There's loads of ways to do that. I'm thinking, you know, okay, we've got spa day and having things like champagne and oysters. Then, you know, the amount of incredible sex toys out there, you know, certainly some of them are very cheap, but it tends to be that the most amazing ones, you kind of need to put aside a bit of cash for those. Doing things like going and getting like a couple's massage, that can be a nice one. Having a getaway, you know, just doing a little, whether it's a staycation or you actually go away for the weekend. Again, it can kind of just be an excuse to go and do something that's nice for the two of you, especially if you haven't, or you know, you haven't done that in a while. If we're talking about a couple,
what about if you're single though and you want to celebrate? I mean, surely they
you can
deserve...
still do a load of these things. You can still take a lovely getaway on your own and, you know, masturbate to your heart's content.
Yeah.
And you can still make yourself a sexy playlist. You can write out fantasies. You can listen to erotica. You can watch ethical porn. You can do all of these things on your own. Another good one that I've been hearing about is CBD-infused lube. That's another one that isn't too expensive. And you know, one for couples that I absolutely love is getting either a sausage pillow. I don't think we've ever talked about these before, Jen.
I've never talked about a sausage pillow with you before.
Oh my God. The sausage pillows are a game changer for a lot of people who are absolutely sick of sleeping in bed with someone who flops around like a whale, fidgets, twitches when they're falling asleep. You have basically a long pillow that goes down the middle of the bed between you, and you can still kind of spoon the pillow and touch each other across the pillow or under it if you want. But that is a game changer for a lot of people who find it really hard to sleep in bed together. So it's not particularly sexy, but in some ways it can be, because if you're getting better quality sleep, you're probably also having better quality sex.
Come here, tell us about the CBD infused lube.
Yeah, I mean, not that much more to know other than it gives you, you know, it can be tingly, it can give you nice vibes. A lot of, you know, CBD has been a big thing over the last
years. They're putting it in lube.
I know, you can get CBD infused hummus in fancy shops these days.
So, but don't be putting that down there, you might get an infection.
No, don't put the hummus down there, I'm telling you now.
Don't be a cheapskate. Just buy the lube if you're looking for the CBD infused one. Okay, now here's the big problem. What should you do if you aren't into celebrating it, but your partner is? This is my life. What do you do there?
Talk to them, find out first. This is usually what I think the breakups are about. The people haven't talked beforehand, so they end up having unspoken expectations and then are severely disappointed. So talk to your partner about whether you want to celebrate it, what your views are on Valentine's Day, what you've found has been historically enjoyable, not enjoyable, and probably you'll settle on, you know, sometimes you'll find that you're just quite mismatched on this and you might just have to kind of compromise because it's one day or whatever. But usually people find that when they talk it through, they can find, you know, a good place to land on where they both have a really nice day and don't feel like they've been totally ripped off, and don't feel like, you know, the kind of sexist elements of it, you know, in both directions, of like men being expected to pay loads for women and women sort of having to receive gifts and put out in return, you know, and then just getting outside of that. So I think have a chat with each other and have a lovely time.
Okay, well, always a pleasure, Rachel. We'll chat to you next week.
Talk to you, Jen.
Thanks, love. There you go. That is Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. She is back next week. If there's anything you would like her to discuss, you can email me. Yeah, jen@rte.ie. If there's anything in particular you would like me to discuss in sex therapy. That was good. Hopefully I was listening.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.